This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us here on In Focus. I'm Roger Gray, and we're going to speak with Kimberly Lewis today. She is the CEO of Goodwill Industries of East Texas. I want to make sure I had the title right. How are you?
I am wonderful, Roger. Thank you for having me.
Oh, hey, happy to. Happy to. I think everybody thinks they know everything about Goodwill Industries, but if you had to give me kind of an overview umbrella description of the organization, which is probably hard to do, actually.
It is very hard to do, but in general, we are a social enterprise. We are a not-for-profit, a 501c3 mm-hmm. organization, and we are a part of a federated model. So Goodwill Industries, yes, that sounds really big and important.
I know, it sounds almost governmental,
It almost does. Sometimes it feels a little governmental, but, you know. But we're part of a federated model. And what that basically means is we are an international organization. Mm-hmm. We are in 153 what we call territories around North America. We have five territories in Canada, and we're in 14 different countries, soon to be 15.
Whoa.
And so I am the CEO.
What country is joining? Do we know?
Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think you and I should go for a trip, you know.
Yeah, that would work.
To join, you know?
That's all the excuse I need to head for a beach in the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. So I'm the CEO of Goodwill Industries of East Texas. Mm-hmm. And we are responsible for 13 counties in East Texas.
Okay.
We provide services for people with barriers to employment. Now, okay. I know your audience is asking, well, what in the world is a barrier to employment?
Probably there are several.
There are several. Yeah. There are several. So it could be a disability, mm-hmm. Having been previously incarcerated or mm-hmm. currently incarcerated.
Okay.
It could be a non-native English speaker, age, whether, you know, employer may think you're too young and don't have experience, or that you're too old. Perhaps you
careful,
need to
careful now. Watch that.
Listen, I'm in the same boat. And there are skills that you may need. It could mm-hmm. just simply be someone who's unskilled for today's workforce. And today's workforce is changing quickly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I years ago, I did a story about auto mechanics. Mm-hmm. I visited with a big auto dealer and talked about the guys and women that work back in his shop. And he said, you have to have really specialized training. A lot of the simple stuff isn't so simple anymore. Mm-mm.
Even changing your tire now.
True.
You know, I had to call AAA to change my tire. And little did I know, there's some crank underneath my truck that lets the tire down.
Oh, yeah.
I would have never found that crank.
I knew about that.
I didn't know.
So, let's talk about what is done about those barriers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's say, for example, you have a disability.
Yeah. So first, let me back up a little bit. So as you said, everybody knows about the retail stores.
Mm-hmm.
But I want people to recognize that the generous donations of our donors that mm-hmm. allow us to sell items in the store, the reason we sell items in the store is not just to pay the light bill and the phone bill and our employees, because they are employees. They're not volunteers.
Indeed.
Who work in our stores and they receive benefits and all of the other. But also to provide the training, the classes, the courses for individuals mm-hmm. with one of those barriers. So if you have a disability, for example, you may have been hurt on a job.
Right.
You know, say you worked in the oil fields and you mm-hmm. got hurt on a job and you can no longer do the type of labor that you once did. And
right.
so now you have to learn a new job. So one of the things that we do is we will do a vocational assessment
mm-hmm.
or a situational assessment to see what are your limitations, what can you do and what can you not do.
Okay.
And so that may end up being that, okay, well, I can sit for, you know, long periods of time, but I can't stand for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we assess based on your needs, your desires, and your abilities, what are the good tracks for you to go into. It could be IT.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have Good Tech Academy at Goodwill Industries of East Texas, and we provide everything from basic computers all the way up to cybersecurity certifications.
Whoa, okay.
And so what that also entails is these certifications are portable, recognized certifications mm-hmm. all over the world. And we work use a program called CompTIA. And so everyone who's in the IT world understands CompTIA. It's one of those certifications that gets your foot in the door and allows you to build. And okay. they're stackable credentials. We provide all of that free of charge right here in Tyler, Texas, at our main location on West Locust Street downtown.
Depending on your limitation, something like IT might be for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would gather you would probably need to have some sort of aptitude toward that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of. Do you, as you say, do an assessment and then sort of start narrowing it down to fields that might work for you within Correct. Your limitations.
Correct. Now, some people come in and they see, you know what, I really want to work in retail. I have mm-hmm. a passion for fashion.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's our wheelhouse. Okay. And so they can go through our retail training program, which is usually part of our what we call work adjustment training, because we're working you up to a level of work that you can handle physically. We also have warehouse training. We have mm-hmm. a warehouse on John Kearney Boulevard, light manufacturing, right. pick and pack. It's like a small Amazon mm-hmm. fulfillment center.
Okay.
And we're doubling the size of that as we speak.
Ah.
So that you may be in warehouse training and you learn how to operate a pallet jack and you become certified as a forklift driver. And, okay. you know, if you're able to do those things. And so it prepares you to get a job in any type of warehouse facility. So whether you're working at Amazon mm-hmm. Or you're working for Train or you're
FedEx
working for
or somebody,
yeah, FedEx yeah. or anything of that nature.
Okay. What is personal social adjustment training?
Aha. Uh-huh. That's something we all need. Personal.
Well, who have you been talking to? How did you
Listen,
know that?
No one has told me anything about you, Roger. Right. However, you know, right. our services are available to you.
Thank you.
And so personal social.
And the price is right,
and
too.
The price
yeah.
is right. Personal social adjustment training helps individuals learn how to comport themselves mm-hmm. in the workplace.
Yep.
How to speak with coworkers, how to resolve conflict, mm-hmm. How to talk to their boss about a raise
right.
or a promotion, how to handle any mistakes that they may make. Mm-hmm. So when we're doing our training, in many cases, if they're in our work adjustment training and say they're doing mm-hmm. retail training or warehouse training, they're also getting that personal social adjustment. So if okay. they're on the retail floor, and they make a mistake, say, you know, they give an incorrect or inappropriate response to their supervisor or to mm-hmm. a customer, then that job coach is right there
right.
listening and taking notes. And so
okay.
they can then pull them. They have little breaks throughout the day where they can pull them aside and, okay, I observed you doing A, B, and C.
Uh-huh.
Let's walk through that and let's talk through what could have been mm-hmm. a better solution to that.
So
problem.
This is almost like you're setting up a relationship. You're setting up mm-hmm. a fictional job.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put them in a situation where they have to react and respond.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
They're actually doing the job. They're, you know, they're in training, but
oh, okay.
they're actually in a real workplace. Everything mm-hmm. we do is hands-on and it's real work. Except we do have a new little cool tool. We use the View goggles to simulate interviews.
Okay.
And so the participant will put on
the little artificial
intelligence
yeah.
like a gaming machine.
Yeah.
And it will simulate an office setting and a person interviewing them. And so they'll ask them different questions and sometimes they'll throw them uh-huh. kind of trick questions in
sure.
between. And it gauges whether or not that was an appropriate answer mm-hmm. or not an appropriate answer.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We're high tech.
That is very high tech. I'm amazed at that. Are there folks that have problems with that? You know, we label it all office politics, but do you find there are, I would guess, particularly young people who have maybe a little problem in mm-hmm. how to appropriately
Well, let me tell
respond.
You, it's all ages.
Yeah.
And as an employer, I even see it when I'm interviewing people. And I'll give you an example.
Oh, I've seen it as a former news director,
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you yeah. have. You know, so many times you'll ask someone the first question when they come in for an interview, mm-hmm. well, tell me a little something about yourself.
Right.
Well, they'll go on and they'll begin to tell you about all their anxieties, all their issues, their problems, their divorce,
yeah.
you know, their mother-in-law that they can't stand, you know.
And you want to stop them and say, that's not what I meant.
Exactly. But know? It surprises me how many people don't know
uh-huh.
that when you say, tell me something about yourself, you're talking about in the career field.
Right.
Tell me something professional mm-hmm. about yourself. But if that interviewer or reviewer leaves that little portion out, they're leaving it out because I leave it out for a reason. I want to see, you know, what's your emotional, social intelligence around that question? Because if I'm hiring you, I'm hiring you at a higher level.
Right.
And so I want to know, and if you don't have it at that level, then I can't use you as a director.
Okay. So are you oversharing, you know?
Oversharing.
Inappropriately. And you find there are too many people that do that?
Well, too many people of all ages.
Really?
Of all ages, yes.
Oh.
Sometimes they have a chip on their shoulder about their previous employer, and they want to come in and tell you all about it.
You know, that's always been a red flag for me, too, like hiring a young reporter, you know, out of college or whatever. Don't badmouth your former boss. You know, it doesn't sit well with hopefully your new boss.
Right.
You know? And so that's part of what you train them to avoid.
Exactly. So we do mock interviews, you know, and help that person when this question is asked, what's your response going to be? Mm-hmm. And then help them to craft an appropriate response.
Okay.
That's particularly important when you're dealing with justice served individuals. So how do they respond to, you know, I see a gap in your application or in your resume, you know, what's that gap about?
Okay.
How do we respond honestly and truthfully? But in an appropriate manner.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
And hopefully don't mess up the deal.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And if they're not willing to hire an ex-offender, then they're going to find that out anyway when they do the background check. So just save them the time. But, you know, we do teach them how to do that and how to speak, you know, respectfully about what and take accountability for whatever it is that they've done. One of the great things about our reentry program, we're not just working with individuals who have been released. We also work in the prison system.
Oh, okay.
And so we're at the facility in Overton near ARP.
Right.
An immense facility. And so I have workers there, and they're working with them so that when they get out, they're ready.
Okay.
They have all of their little ducks in a row, and they're ready to start on a job. And we already have a list of employers who are friendly towards those who have made mistakes in their lives.
That was my next question. I would presume, obviously, and you just answered it, you work with employers that for whom that is not a deal breaker.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Are there many of those out there?
Yes, there actually are, you know, because for many
that's kind of reassuring because, as you say, everybody screws up.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there are many, and particularly because of the job. Now, it may be that they may be a friendly employer, but that particular crime may not be appropriate for the position that they're applying for, you know. So if you've, you know, done
you don't want to have done time for embezzlement if you want to be a bank teller.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, that's not appropriate. However, there may be something else that you can do.
Okay. And again, that's part of the screening process as well.
Yes.
You know, here's, okay, well, I'm in for this. Okay, well, all right, let's eliminate a couple of jobs right here, that sort of thing. Is that a tougher proposition? Dealing men and women coming back into the world, as they say, from incarceration.
I don't. It's no more tougher than anything else that
really?
We do.
Okay.
We've been doing it for so long. You know, the biggest part is mindset. You know, and their families, supporting their families so that families understand this road, that they're not going to be able to come out, boom, and you know. Day two, day three, have a job.
Yeah.
Our reentry program is a 3-week reentry program. And the reason we make it 3 weeks is because if they still have paper on them, so to speak, if they're still on parole, they're still on probation,
right?
They have 3 weeks before they can find it, before they're supposed to find a job.
That's not long. Particularly given you're coming out with a record.
Yeah. And I would have a hard time.
Yeah.
You know, if I lost my job, you know, today or tomorrow, I would have a very difficult time finding another job, a full-time job. They want a full-time job, too.
Sure.
Within a 3-week period. Yeah. However, we have such a good working relationship with the corrections department that while they're in the Goodwill program, they stop the clock.
Ah.
So they get another 3 weeks. And we work with
them
and help place them. So as soon as they get to a halfway house, and we have many here in Smith County, as soon as they get to a halfway house, we're on the list. Okay, there's a van going to Goodwill in the morning. You need to be on it. You know, they're like, they're like, Goodwill. I don't need any clothes. I got a bag of clothes right there. No, not to the store. Where you're going for training, you know.
And you know what I've done. I again, as a reporter, I've done stories with people who work with halfway houses, getting them back into back into the world, and it's tough. Tough, and I assume you prepare them. They're going to hit a lot of brick walls.
Yeah, they are going to have some brick walls, but that's part of that daily, that 3 week. Really, just let's talk it all out. What are the things that you're going to hear? What are the things that you're going to encounter?
And how are you going to deal with it?
And how are you going to deal with it? And most of it doesn't even have anything to do with a job. It's dealing with friends. Family members, old connections, sometimes you got to change playmates and playgrounds,
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And making sure that they have their documentation.
Right.
Making sure they have their driver's license because they can't run a background check and they can't hire you unless you have ID.
Yeah.
And in many cases, if someone has been incarcerated, many times, particularly if they've been incarcerated, let's say more than 5 years.
It's lapsed.
Yeah, it gets lost. They've moved from one place to the other. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows where anything is. They think grandma still has it and grandma doesn't have it. All of those kinds of things. So.
Wow. There are details I would not have thought about that are barriers, hurdles to get over.
Right.
Just to get back into a job interview.
Yeah. Now, the one good thing is what we found is that many individuals who are incarcerated, they do have skills. They've either learned them while they were incarcerated or they went in and they had some skills and they made some mistakes. Okay. A lot of drug crimes, that kind of thing.
There are people that get degrees behind bars.
Oh, my goodness. And we have several who have had degrees in very high-paying jobs and made a mistake with white-collar crime and ended up in federal prison, and so now they can't do that type of work that they once did, but they still have that skill set. They still have that mind. It's just teaching them or helping them to identify a different path where they can still use their mind. They can still use, their business acumen or their skill set, some may have been a meat cutter or a sous chef at a restaurant, food service is a great place because, as long as you can cook and clean and do all that stuff, they don't care.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. So you could have helped Martha Stewart when she got out.
Exactly.
There you go. Let's take it to the other end of the spectrum, the youth. You've got a program for, 16 to 24?
Yes.
Yeah. What are you working with them? Working on with them. Hello,
yes.
I'll get
yes.
it out.
Yeah. Some of those same basic skills, the personal social adjustment, some of those skills that are needed there. Interviewing skills, helping them with a job application and a resume. And in the summertime, we have a special program through a partnership with Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
And we train our youth in our YouthWorks program to work at Chick-fil-A. And so they work 3 weeks at Goodwill, and then they work 3 weeks as an intern, and Goodwill still pays them.
Okay.
For Chick-fil-A on Broadway. And if there's an opening and that owner or manager likes them, they will hire them.
Ah, okay.
And if not, then we continue to help them to find something else.
And obviously, these are non-college bound kids.
Right.
These are kids.
Well, not necessarily.
Really?
Not necessarily. Some of them, the YouthWorks program is for ages 16 to 24, and those are kids who are, in general, this is not the summer program, but in general, who are not in school. They may have graduated already. And not working yet. And what I found in so many cases, young people just don't know which direction to go in.
Right.
And so they go in no direction. And I tell people all the time, go look at your auntie's house. Go look at your grandma's house. Your cousin Sue's. They've got a 18-year-old, 19-year-old sitting up on the couch playing Xbox.
Yeah.
They've never been in trouble, but they just don't know what they want to do.
Right.
Send them to Goodwill, and we will help give them some direction.
Ah, okay. I know you also work with veterans.
Yes.
Getting out of the service. Which has been a problem for some vets.
Yes.
Yeah. What are the services there?
Well, you know, really, when you have a veteran, sometimes you have veterans who have had very technical sounding jobs, you know, in the military, and it's difficult to translate that into today's workforce. And so we look at their resume, look at the job that they did, and help them to translate that so that the employer will know what the heck they're talking about. Now, what did you do? You know, what is that?
You know? Why do I need a guy who was in artillery?
Exactly. Why do I need that? Security guard, maybe? I don't know. You know, but what are the skill sets? And then help them also to find employers who really have a strong desire to hire veterans.
Okay.
And, you know, it's similar to...
I'm going to guess that's an easier hurdle, the employers that want to help vets.
It is easier. Yeah. It is an easier hurdle. Sometimes they may have PTSD.
Yeah.
And, you know, we help them with that. We also, you know, work with Camp V and all of the other providers. You know, we are such a fortunate community.
Right.
To have so many different not-for-profits and different organizations that reach out and help so many people. And so if it's something that Goodwill doesn't specialize in, we will get them in with someone who does specialize.
Steer them in the right direction.
Steer them in the right direction.
And you help with just employment.
Exactly.
Employment services.
Just plain old employment. You know, we're all about work.
Okay.
It's all about work. Finding the right niche for you, helping you to find employment. And listen, we're still living in a digital divide in our communities. And so in many communities, they don't have access to internet. So there are very few places where you can walk in and fill out a paper application anymore.
Yeah.
So we have a program called Good Assist. And our Good Assist outreach workers, we have 8 Good Assist workers working throughout our territory in East Texas in various stores. They will help individuals not only complete a job application, they'll help them with write a resume, help them to locate a job. They will also help them find other resources, whether they're local, state, or federal resources that they may apply to. Say, for example, have you ever filled out a federal financial aid form, FAFSA?
I started doing that for my daughter, and then she got a scholarship, so I was cool.
You know? That was good.
I know,
but it, you know, it's like filling out, you know,
I understand,
50 million forms, and
makes makes your taxes look like a day at the beach.
Exactly, yeah. It really does. But our Good Assist workers know how to do it. And so we'll help people with FAFSA. We'll help them apply for food stamps. We'll help them apply for any type of housing vouchers or child care vouchers that are available in their area. So, for example, this is going to surprise you.
And one of the hurdles may be you're a single parent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or a grandparent. We see a lot of grandparents. Years ago, I was working with volunteering with a group, and we had a project to serve women over the age of 55, I believe it was, over the age of 55. And the project was to serve 50. And I thought, okay, well, I'm sure we have 50 women over the age, you know, of 55 that come into our Good Assist program. That'll be easy. I can get that documentation. When I had my staff run the numbers, and we were about mid-year, it was 150 women. And so I said, okay, what's the issue? Because we do an intake.
Right.
So we find out, you know, a little bit about the lives and what has brought that person to us. And what we found is that so many of them were grandparents. And they now had custody of their grandchildren, or they were caring for their grandchildren, and they needed more money. And so now they didn't even have enough money to feed their grandchildren. They'd never been to a food pantry, never applied for food stamps. They had no clue how to do that.
Okay.
You know, and so we were able to help them do that. But also then in other cases, help them to get a part-time job or a child care voucher if the child was, you know, in child care age.
Yeah.
So many things.
Well, it's a cascading thing too, because the child's actual parent may be working, mm-hmm. and child care is very expensive. Mm-hmm. So grandma's filling in that position, mm-hmm. but she needs money too.
She needs money too. Or the parents are not in the picture.
Yeah.
They're incarcerated or something else has happened.
Drug issues, whatever.
We've seen widows. You know, their spouses, their husbands in most cases, you know, was the main breadwinner. Mm-hmm. And they passed away suddenly.
Okay.
And now that income is gone. And they don't know how to do some of the things that their spouse took care of. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen that a good bit as well.
Let's get to what folks can do to help. Mm-hmm. And I, one of the big ones you've already mentioned is donations.
Yes.
What do you guys look for? What do you need and what do you not need?
Mm-hmm. We need just about everything.
Okay.
You know, you walk into a Goodwill store, it is like a department store. Mm-hmm. And so we sell everything from clothing to accessories for men, women, children, to dog beds, you know, to small appliances. Now, the things that we really can't use are mm-hmm. very large, bulky appliances,
right.
like refrigerators or freezers.
Okay.
Because those are dangerous to store. You know, yeah. if you're going to store those or even have those in the back of the store, you mm-hmm. got to take the doors off, you know. So things like, of that
yeah,
nature.
I about that. Yeah.
Car parts. We don't take car parts. You know, if it's a side mirror, you know, that's fine.
Okay.
Things like.
You don't need an alternator.
Yeah, we don't need an alternator. Okay. None of, you know, I don't even know, you know, I don't know if I would recognize one, but we don't need
one. You don't know how to get your tire out of
I can't get my tire from underneath my car.
Out of the bottom of the car.
So, you know, those kinds of things.
So clothing, books.
Lots of books.
Furniture?
Furniture.
Okay.
Furniture is always great. You know, lots of
good,
folks.
Because I have a small dresser I need to get rid of.
Come on. Yeah.
I'll bring it down.
Yeah, bring it on down. You know, anything of that nature. Mm-hmm. You know, high-end items as well as, you know, lower-end items. You know, we can take it and use it all. Because here's the other wonderful thing.
Okay.
Even the items that do not sell in our retail stores, mm-hmm. we recycle. We are the original recycler.
Okay.
We were founded in 1902 by Reverend Edgar J. Helms to take in gently used mm-hmm. donated goods, and any goods that couldn't be used were used for other things.
Right.
So we may have items that did not sell for whatever reason.
Okay.
They're sold on another market. Usually to, you know, some other country where they may use them as mattress stuffers. So they'll use them to, you know, as primary clothes. That's uh-huh. why when you watch some of these shows that are filmed in Africa or Indonesia, and you'll see somebody, you know, with a Dallas Cowboys t-shirt on.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's probably where it came from. You know,
okay.
It came from a Goodwill somewhere, you know. But we're taking it an even a step further now.
Mm-hmm.
We're now involved with what's called textile circularity.
Ooh.
That's a fancy thing,
uh-huh.
isn't it? And so this is an international movement of Goodwill, and we are looking for the best final use or mm-hmm. continuous use
right.
of every single item. So I predict, you can go ahead and put it in the book, I predict right. that within 20 years or so, every single thing that we wear mm-hmm. is going to be made of recyclable items.
Well, I know, and I have heard stories about, particularly with things like Temu and so forth, mm-hmm. that quickly made, cheaply made clothing. It's becoming so much easier for somebody to not, you know, sew up a rip in their jeans. Just go get a new pair of jeans.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's far too easily replaceable.
Right.
Instead of, you know,
and what
making it last.
Yeah. And then what happens is when people, they throw it away, it may have a stain on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
They throw it away. It ends up in a landfill.
Yep.
And so that's our ultimate goal, is to keep as much out of the landfill as possible.
What can people do to help?
Okay. The first thing is donate. You can donate your gently used items, whether they're clothing, whether mm-hmm. it's jewelry, whether it's furniture, books, record players, you know, your
don't
grandma's
bring your
china.
Ratty, your ratty stuff.
Not your ratty. Yeah. If you wouldn't give it to a neighbor, don't necessarily give it
there
to people.
There you go. Okay. You know, good rule of thumb.
Yeah, good quality stuff. You can also donate financially. You can go to our website, goodwilleasttexas.com, and click that donate button. And what that helps us to do is to provide some services to all of those individuals that we're serving. Last year, we provided services and programs and classes to 3,581 individuals.
Wow.
That's not our shoppers. That's not our donors. Those are people who needed our help right here in our East Texas community.
Kimberly Lewis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And thank all of you, and we'll see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.